Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wheels, this might be my favorite song of all time.
Really?
You know, like, we've talked about this before, how, like, what's your favorite band? Oh, Beatles.
Right, right.
Queen. But probably my favorite band is Counting Crows. And when it comes to what's your favorite song, like, oh, Dear Prudence, maybe this. I love this song. I listened to it. I was singing it last night, and I'm like, what song is that? And then I remember what song it was, and I'm laying there on my couch playing it on my iPad over and over again like I'm 12. That's what I did last night.
Nothing wrong with that. I do that with songs. Not it's not always the same ones, but I'll do that where I get a song and I just want to hear it. And I saw this play it all the time.
Yeah, I used to do that a lot. Everyone does that.
Yeah.
But like what I talked about, I don't listen to music at home.
Yeah.
For some odd reason. But yeah, last night I was jamming.
You should jam in that Jeep more often, man. I bet you got a nice sound system in there.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah, like I rock should. That thing, man.
I should rock that Jeep.
You should. You should be going down the street. We should hear your bass from two blocks away.
Andrew is out today. He is on a train as we speak on his way to Chicago for his brother's bachelor party. So hopefully he has a great time. And our buddy Janelle agreed to come in today. So she's going to be here from now until 3 p.m. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks
appreciate it. Let's see what else we got. Oh, yeah. Look at this. I'm wearing my hoodie, which makes me look like Dr. Robbie from The Pit. And Julie Lally went to her doctor, Dr. Wiedner, and got me a stethoscope.
Oh.
Would you trust this guy?
Yeah. Yeah. But only to do the thing on the back where I have to cough. You know, that back where you're like.
The back of what?
The back. You know, when they check your lungs.
Oh, okay.
I'd trust you to check my lungs.
Nope. Wasn't thinking that at all.
No, I was about to head over there and make a cough.
Yeah, no, we ain't doing that one.
And interestingly, I was playing with it, listening to my heart, which weirds me out. And Rach tried, and she has none.
Couldn't hear my heart.
You're dead?
Couldn't hear my heart. Maybe I had the ear things in wrong or something.
I don't think there's
a... shoved in there.
That would be tough.
Did you have the volume up?
Here, Janelle, you try.
My heart and listen to my own heart. Yes. Okay.
Or you could do the cough thing on Kevin's back.
No.
Would you want to check the lungs?
I'm good.
Whichever one you want to do.
Let's see.
Can you hear it?
Like slightly, but not. It's not like loud.
Maybe they're toy stethoscopes.
We got to say something.
Yeah, we're all just silently listening. Like we're going to hear her heart.
Put it up to this.
So thank you to Dr. Wiedner.
That's very cool. I wish I had a stethoscope. That's neat.
Anyone goes down.
Dave's got you.
Turn into me.
So Dr. Dave.
I got no heart.
Does this mean that the hero scenario changes when we're talking about the like falling asleep fantasy thing?
Like, oh, if he gets shot?
Stabbed. But now maybe somebody else does and you can save them.
Oh, no, I need to be injured.
Okay.
But it could be like this, like the shooter comes in, of course, shoots rates first. Yeah. We know this. Yeah. I throw in my stethoscope. I go over to save her, and I'm like, there's no heart sounds. And she's like, I'm only hitting the shoulder. I'm like, you have no heart sounds.
He's just like, it just grazed my shoulder.
It's just a flesh wound.
Look, it's a nick.
You'll be dead soon.
It's not even bleeding.
You just rest. I have to help Wheeler disarm this guy. And then I always get shot. Here's the thing about my strange fantasy is that it would be more effective if I were shot bad, like in the chest or something, because I'm not really being shot.
Oh boy.
But I don't even want to fantasize about what would come later, like the rehab. So I just need like a good shot to the shoulder, maybe the hip.
Yeah, I don't know. The hip sounds like that would really suck.
Just the butt. Like I said, all the meat's back there.
Yeah.
No, pretty much every injury is better.
Now, I do that when I get my pellets, because it's usually in my upper butt, lower back. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to get them, but you're sensitive and you have a bandage on there. So for 3 days, I'm set. I'm like, are you shot? Yeah. Where? Mm-hmm. Right in the butt.
Yeah. Of course.
I went ahead and bandaged it because I'm a third-year resident.
You're walking around going, something bit me.
And clearly whoever shot you was a coward because they shot you as
that's
you were
right.
going.
Right. So, but then I worry about, am I the coward because it looks like I'm running away?
Oh.
Well, I
They must have
hope.
Snuck up on you, though, Dave. That's the tweak.
There Isn't that self-preservation?
Yeah. They shot me while I was using the stethoscope on Rach.
Oh, yeah.
Who has
no
heart sounds.
Right.
His butt was just there.
Right. Yeah.
It's well, there's the target.
I've seen my butt. If you're going to shoot a butt, it's going to be mine, right? So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
now we're getting judged.
I think I finally lost my butt, which sucks because I've had a booty since the jump.
What do you mean he lost it?
I still got it.
It got stolen.
But it's just not as bootylicious as it used to be.
It's the old guy thing.
Yeah.
Like older guys, because I think, you know, I definitely have less butt.
Yeah.
Got to start doing some squats.
Yeah, but that sucks.
reason it's called working out.
Yeah, no, but squats suck. I mean, they're hard. You got to put a lot of weight on there.
Okay, deadlifts.
It's not that great. Yeah.
Bulgarian Those are fine. Squats.
I'll just start working out only my butt.
Yeah, you could.
A lot of girls do now.
Yeah?
Really?
Yes, that is the thing. Yeah. Huh. Rachel knows.
Go on, you start saying something.
Well, the other day, I was walking behind a young lady, and I was like, she definitely goes to the gym for her butt. Her butt was, like, magnificent. Like, for me to notice,
right?
It was crazy.
That used to be me.
She stole your butt?
Yes.
We need to get you a pair of yoga pants.
There's some young girl out there with Dave Glover's butt. She's like, what did I do to deserve this gift? Meanwhile, I'm like, I can't even poop out of this.
Oh, man.
There's not enough butt there. Oh, shout out. Last night I had a NODA event, No One Dies Alone. And just for those of you who are new to the show, because we just went to FM a few weeks ago, and I know we've probably doubled our listenership. My mom passed away last July, and there's this organization called No One Dies Alone, where you sit with people who are in their last couple of days on hospice. And they did that for my mom, and someone from NODA was with my mom when she passed away at 3 a.m. And so to honor her and pay it forward, I joined that group. And last night we had a get together, like a little thank you. And it was lovely. And they gave us a little coffee mug that says you make a difference. And we got to know each other and took a picture together. But anyway, so that was cool. And then one of the brand new people came up to me. I'm only in like 6 months. And it just goes to show you, like, what is it? Learn, view, teach, something like that, like the way they do in medical school. I should know being a third-year resident. But
you got a stethoscope, Dave.
One of the new ladies who joined because of the DGS came up to me and said, I haven't done my first vigil yet. When I do it, will you be my mentor and let me shadow you? And I'm like, I've only done like 6 of these. But yes.
Yeah.
So isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's really very cool. Very
yeah,
cool.
I thought that was very, very sweet. And a lot of responsibility.
Yes.
I don't want to freak out.
He's like, I take the pressure.
Now the teacher.
Now the teacher.
The student becomes the teacher.
I'll just teach her all wrong stuff. Yeah.
Well, it's not wrong because you're teaching it. So,
step number one, you need a stethoscope.
I prefer the pink ones.
Yes, but make sure you have one.
Yeah, my vigils will be real short. They're gone. I'm sorry.
Can't hear anything.
I can see them breathing. Stethoscopes don't lie. My co-host, she died too.
She's like, but she still have no walks. Heartbeat.
She still
the
walks
living
the
dead.
Walls.
She's like, Dave, I'm right here.
What if Rachel's a vampire?
That'd be crazy.
Wouldn't not that
be
that like crazy.
The ultimate prank?
You look like a vampire.
Oh, what?
No, in a Cullen kind of way.
Okay, explain. Yeah.
Very pretty, light complected. Light
That's
eyes.
True. I am quite pale.
Yeah.
Man, you're convincing me.
You're like a Cullen. The Bulgers are all friggin' vampires. They're all
okay.
Cullens.
I get you. What does that mean, Cullen?
Just it's
light
from
complected.
Twilight.
Oh, it's a Twilight
they're,
thing.
They're
okay.
the family of vampires. Yeah, yeah. Dark hair, piercing eyes.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Can you jump from a tall building and land real cool like a movie jump, you know, the movie landing?
Probably not.
Oh. Probably not a vampire then.
Probably.
That's the defining feature.
I kind of want to try the heartbeat thing again because now I'm a little freaked out. I didn't hear anything.
Just means you're like calm.
Just have her run up and down the halls. We'll see how fast she goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, do some of your push-ups.
Oh, dude, I haven't been doing any push-ups. And I challenged myself on the air so I would do it. And I'm still not doing
day.
It. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you? Why are you like this? Do a dang push-up. I will tonight. No, I will. Who am I
tonight? I will. Friday night is made for push-ups.
Right. Definitely like not when I do my normal morning workout. That's a stupid time to get it done.
Saturday night's all right for fighting, but Friday night's for push-ups.
It's for push-ups. It's my life. It's boring.
I was like, well, that sounds pretty. That's all right.
Do you guys see that the CEO, this is right up your alley, Janelle, the CEO of Netflix said that theaters are outdated.
Yes, right before that some of the most, some of the biggest movies have come out over the week. Like Sinners is still doing amazingly well at the box office. Revenge of the Sith pulled over $25 million this weekend. It's The Accountant 2. Pulled almost $25 million. Yeah, so it was. I think it was kind of proven wrong in an amazing way.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you have good movies come out, people will go see them.
Almost
shocking.
It's almost like he had a bias in this too, and he's trying to convince people to stay home do something else. Maybe that and chill.
Yeah.
Almost like he had a vested interest in saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they have a couple Netflix movies come out in theaters though?
They did like
a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, they had them come out in theaters and like a week later they were on Netflix. Yeah.
But theaters do need to evolve, right? Like how many things, like look at how sports have evolved
like the
over the years.
Evolves.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean like they've done a lot better. Like I love the assigned seating thing. I'm so glad that you don't have to do the whole, well, let's just show up, make sure we get a good seat thing. Mm-hmm. Like that's a good piece of evolution, but they have to have something else.
Like
can't
what?
Be just that. I don't know. I don't know. But obviously, movies would be great.
Yeah. I mean, the chairs recline, they heat up.
I had a list here.
All inclusive seats, maybe?
Of faux pas at theaters. And most of them aren't that interesting. But the last one, the number one rude things that people do at theaters is to leave your trash behind.
Yeah.
Mm. I didn't know that.
Oh, that used to be a real thing. Like, everybody did it. Right?
Yeah,
like,
I just thought that was part of the experience. Not that
part
you want to
benefit.
Yeah, you don't like you want to like take a pee, but I mean like, you know, you finish your popcorn.
Just leave it there.
Yeah.
That was definitely a thing for a long time. Like everyone did.
I thought it still was.
Oh.
It's amazing that they want you to take your trash with you. Has anybody been to the theater recently? Like every time you walk out, the trash things are like like spilling over and you're just like, okay, so I'm supposed to take my trash with me, but it's
take
now.
It home.
No, it's just all over the place right there at the exit.
Yeah, I always get there too early, and I see them cleaning the last one.
Oh, okay.
So I just thought, oh, okay.
They like doing it.
They love it.
That's what gives them a job.
Don't throw away
jobs.
Your
Steve,
own
you're
popcorn.
A job creator.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you're
you.
A job creator.
Except for those, like, weren't those kids throwing all the popcorn during the Minecraft
movie?
Oh, is that a thing?
Oh, it's been, that movie's been wild. Didn't Jack Black like show up at a theater and please don't yell things and throw popcorn?
Yeah, it's something like chicken. I would have to look it up. But there's some
chicken jockey.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, where somebody screams something during a certain time, and all the kids were like buying those big, enormous bags of popcorn and then throwing them all over the place.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah.
Man, kids.
And grown kids.
I was going to say, probably not just kids. I'm mad.
I think they learned from something.
Back DG has 123. Wheels, do you hate this? It's enough's enough.
I mean,
they were glam metalists.
They were, well, yeah, they were all right. Like they were on the fringe of the,
they had a thing
of the style that I liked in the 80s. They were on the like lighter end of it.
Yeah,
like a little lighter than Poison.
Yeah, bit better. Better musicians.
Well, probably true. Other than the guitarist CeCe DeVille, that's probably not hard.
Yeah, they weren't great.
And he was only good, not great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like any pop music? Like none?
No.
You never hear like a Dua Lipa song and start tapping your foot?
Nope. Nope.
Oh man, I wish you did. That would make me so happy.
Nope. One of my favorite laughy things is I like when like metal bands do covers of pop songs. That's hilarious. It's pretty good.
In a making fun of way?
Not necessarily, just in their way. Mm. You know, there's a guy who did a screamo version of an Adele song, which was pretty hilarious. Mm-hmm. And then they played it for her and she was like, oh my. That was really funny.
You know, it's a weird word. Disgruntled.
Yeah, because you're not really gruntled.
Right. And gruntled sounds so bad. Yeah, right?
Right, right.
But do you know what gruntled means?
I didn't know that gruntled was a
gruntled
word.
Gruntled is a word.
It is?
It means to be of good humor and cheer.
I am gruntled.
What a
that does not
poorly
match.
Constructed
no.
sound for that.
Yeah.
And so, I'm all gruntled. It's Friday. Look,
but that sounds
how
like
gruntled
you're
up, I am.
It sounds right. like you're not happy, though.
And then if something goes wrong, I become disgruntled.
No. Is it German? Gruntled?
Probably. Sounds
yeah,
like it.
Yeah, because even the happy words sound angry.
Angry. Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I am happy.
Gruntled.
Sorry.
Let's see if it is.
I've lost my gruntle. Don't take my gruntle away.
You know, like, that's funny because so many words sound like what they are or what they mean, right?
Like moist.
Which, right, makes, okay. like happy. Right. That sounds happy.
Happy.
Yeah. Burp sounds like burp. That sounds like what happens.
Fart.
Burp. Yeah. See? You get it.
I get it.
You get it.
Buzz.
Buzz.
Those silly Germans. They just don't know how to be happy.
I did not know until today that gruntled was a word.
Yeah, I didn't know till last night. I was just thinking about it because I was in the zone and that's what I do. And I was like, if you're disgruntled, is gruntled good? And I looked it up and it is.
Oh, well. Go figure. Nobody's ever used that word, though. Like, walk into a room. How you doing today? I am gruntled.
Never. Not in 60 years.
I mean, maybe back in the old-timey Victorian days when they talk stupid.
Everyone in the DGS use it tonight.
Yeah. I'm gruntled. No feet.
You go to dinner. How you doing? Gruntled.
No feet. I'm gruntled.
It's Middle English.
Quite gruntled. These pancakes are gruntling me.
Land has no feet. We got to make that one take off better.
Robert says Amy Marksgors probably uses that word.
Gruntled?
Probably.
Yeah. She's more like, not so much Victorian, but more like, you know, like...
She thinks she's so smart because she reads.
Yeah, I know. Reads.
She knows all those facts and
stuff. I know. Information.
Books.
Hey. I'm taking this a little personally over here.
No,
you're one of us now.
Yeah, one of us.
You know, one of us.
Even though I read.
One of us.
Okay, you can be the smart one in the group.
Yeah. Well, since we don't do the crossover, we need somebody in the room to be the smart person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't say I was smart. I just said I've read books.
No, that makes you smart.
That makes you smart in here.
Oh. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, yay, although you don't know how to find your heart with a stethoscope.
No, I don't.
So. Neither of you do.
Oh, man.
Maybe it's just a girl thing.
Yeah, maybe your heart. Maybe your hearts are just beating so
mine's
going to
be like a
we can't
double bass drum.
We'll hear that.
I also love how we're all sharing earwax together today.
I did clean it off before I send it over.
It's all natural. Man, this is small.
Thank you.
All right, everybody be really quiet. See if we can hear the heartbeat.
Might want to get some skin.
Oh, yeah, it's there.
Oh,
man, you can hear it through the shirt. That's not fair.
Huh?
That's crazy.
What's that through the Yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably working overtime.
Had some energy drinks.
Speaking of 101 FM KMOX, time to talk to our pal Ricky Horton. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Dave. Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing great, buddy. So I want to start out with kind of a Dave question. I was just thinking about you guys yesterday. You know, we sat here cooling our heels through the rain delay, and sometimes doing nothing is harder than doing something. You totally get that. But I was thinking about, you know, the travel. You know, you guys got to catch planes, and you have to get on buses, and you have to this, and you have to that. Could you kind of, for us normies out there who've never been on a team or traveled with a team, both what it was like as a player and what it's like now as a broadcaster, just the schedule and the in and the out and the hotels?
Yeah. Well, I think that part of it that's the same for both the player and the broadcaster and the coaches is that you've got people taking care of stuff for you. So honestly, that's the most important thing. You know, Ernie Moore does our travel, and Mark Walsh handles all of our bags, equipment, and transfer of stuff. So basically, you're kind of worry-free on that regard. You're not worried about waiting in line at an airplane and changing reservations and all that. But, you know, basically when you get back, you know, you're obviously, if you have plans when you're coming back, which most guys wouldn't have, you know, they can get interrupted. But, you know, two-hour rain delay, honestly, the biggest deal in the rain delay is try to figure out what to do for 2 hours when you're at the ball. As a player, you know, back in the day, we used to play cards. I don't think they do that. They're on their phones or doing video games, whatever they might do now. But, you know, broadcasters, you know, all I did was sit around and complain that the press dining closed early for some reason, and we didn't leave. We could have at least had a place to kind of connect there, but you know, we can always have something to complain about. But honestly, it you know, it's fine. We just are kind of in the dark, like everybody else, trying to figure out what exactly is going on and when they're going to resume play. Players don't know, broadcasters don't know. There's a select few that are talking that through, and that actually involves New York now. New York is involved.
You know, I was watching a TikTok today. I don't know who the ex-player was. I apologize, but it was an ex-player on a podcast. And they were saying 162 games in 185 days. And he's like, yeah, it's insane. It's crazy. Yeah. It shouldn't be, but that's just the way it is.
It is. And, you know, you kind of get used to it, honestly. I mean, you get used to, you know, I get into such of a cadence, and I have done for so many years, that, you know, it makes sense to go into a city for 3 days. And so that's another part of the equation here. So if you're in there for 4 days, it seems like, you know, it's like you're the relative that never leaves, you know? I mean, it's that extra day. It's just too many. And two's not enough. Sometimes you have a two-game series. It's like, wait a minute, we just got here. And so there's a cadence of two cities, 3 days each, that just is kind of built into kind of our normal patterns. And when that's interrupted, rain sometimes does that. I tell you, the split doubleheader thing is something that they didn't used to have when I played. I'm not sure how players physically can respond to that very well, because we always felt that, you know, hey, when first game's over, let's just play, let's just keep going. You don't want to rest.
Yes,
it's like I don't want to rest and then run another marathon.
Yes,
I want to just keep going until. Yeah, I mean, I understand that there's economics in that. That's why they do it, but I would not have preferred that as a player. As a broadcaster, it's not great either, but it is what it is.
So one last Dave question. I'll turn you over to Wheeler. In my fantasy life, you guys every night after the game are going to Trader Vic's and having seafood towers and stuff like that. Is that how you guys roll?
Well, first of all, you have to have a better fantasy life. I'll just start with that. But let's just say
it's all I got. Ricky Horton eating seafood.
So I mean, there's a little bit. It depends on the city. Some cities are, you know, shut down early. But, you know, honestly, the bar is kind of the place to hang out. And bar food is what you more have than meals, because you're getting back at 10 o'clock, and so. You know, it's kind of our cadence is to just hang out. I will say this, all the broadcasters, We love hanging out together. I mean, there's some funny dudes. I mean, Chip Carey's funny, and Brad Thompson's funny, out of this world funny. We just have a good time hanging out, John and I, and Claves when he's traveling. I mean, we really all get along great.
That's awesome.
Ricky, it's the Mets again, and obviously the home version of the Cardinals has been good against pretty much anybody. Doesn't matter really how well the other team's playing or how good they are. The road version hasn't been that so much, although the series in Cincy was better. What do you make of this? I mean, the Mets are clearly one of the best teams in baseball. There's only three teams with 20 wins. They have 21, so they're tied for the most wins in baseball. And I think there are some encouraging signs for the Cardinals in the last week or so. Can that carry over? Because I think this is going to be fun this week. I'm really, really fascinated by this matchup.
Well, you hope that the players have a sense of, you know, they kind of owe them a little bit after the series in New York, because that was not good. But the Mets are good. You just got to start with that. They pitch very well. Their lineup's deep. They've got some marquee players. Lindor is one of my favorite players in baseball. He's just a good player, and I'm not even talking about Alonso, who's, you know, Alonso can be hot and cold, but, you know, more, we certainly got him hot when we were in New York. But, you know, the pitching for the Cardinals has been good enough to sustain the teams in every game, because the starting pitching has been so good. And even on the road record's not good. We all know that. And it's getting better. But the Cardinals are in every game. They're still fun. I was at an event this morning. Several people came up to me and said, "This is the most fun version of a Cardinal team I've seen in many years. I understand you want to win more, but this really is a fun team." And so, I mean, I hope the fun keeps translating into development and more victories, and a good place to start is with the powerhouse Mets.
I don't remember the exact note, Rick, but I was listening to you during one of the doubleheader games. I think it was during game one before the outburst late for the Cardinals. But we were talking about the Cardinals' home run production and how early it was significantly greater than it has been since. And I know, look, we all understand, like, trying to hit too many home runs can get you in trouble. But home runs, and I would just say power, doubles, triples, home runs, really, those are important ways to score runs. And I don't think it's a coincidence that as soon as they did that against the Reds, they scored, they had a couple big wins and put up a bunch of runs.
I actually heard you talking about the fact that I was talking about it, so now we're talking about it again, which is really full circle. You know, this is awesome. The worst thing you can do is try to hunt home runs. You know, Brant Brown, the hitting coach, we've said this a few times this year, but he likes to tell the players, home runs are not hit, they're thrown. So the bad pitch ends up as a home run. If you're hunting every pitch to hit out of the ballpark, you strike out a lot, you chase a lot, and you're not gonna be effective. There are times to hit, there's time to slug, and there's time to hit. And so you have to be kind of patient with that, and it's going to come in cycles. When a pitcher, you know, makes a lot of mistakes, you better just jump on them. And they certainly jumped on them over a few inning period in Cincinnati when they were getting some mistakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is cyclical, and you just have to kind of keep after it. There's some guys that could be 20-plus home run guys on the roster, and they will be.
Yeah, and Wilson eventually be that, and Herrera is going to be back soon. So there's some of that punch.
And Burleson's going to get there too. Burleson's the guy that I'm so high on Burleson, because I just think the guy can flat out hit, and he's had a slow start. He's had other slow starts in his career, and you know, I believe it was May where he just kind of got on fire last year. So hoping for that.
Ricky, I don't know if you've seen it. Did you see the piece in The Athletic this week about the strike zone?
And I did.
Yeah, and so for people that haven't seen it yet, I really wanted to run it by you as a pitcher, because what they did this year in an agreement with the Major League Baseball Umpires Association was they're grading them a little tougher on the strike zone, so they're reducing the buffer zone around. So they didn't change the strike zone, but they're penalizing the umpires or grading them harder by shrinking that benefit of the doubt that they give them from like 2 inches around the plate to, I think it's a half inch around the plate or something along those lines. So, A, offense hasn't really changed much. If you look at the total numbers, it's basically the same as last April and March. It's pretty close. A little better this year, but not really much. How does it look different to you? Is it something that without seeing the details or hearing about it that you would have noticed?
Let's just say when I saw that, and I didn't hear you talking about what I saw. Wait a minute, I guess we don't have to go down through that story again. But no, but I'm happy. I'm glad I read that story, and I hadn't heard you talk about it yet. But I 100% see umpires calling tighter strike zones from time to time. And now, you know, I've got my pitcher hat on when I see that and the lenses that they give us pitchers to look at things, you know, from that viewpoint. But I think the game's worse when they don't call strikes. And I think it's I think it's reverse. I think it's a terrible thing that MLB did this with umpires. I think it's the exact opposite of what you should do. To me, if you want the lessen strikeouts, the plate actually has to be bigger, which will force guys to cut down on swings. And I think that's how it works. So if you're making the strike zone so small, then pitchers are going to continue to throw max effort every time they can. I just think we have to train hitters eventually to cover the plate more and not, you know, not argue about whether a ball is a half inch outside. I personally wish they'd get rid of the box, whatever that's called, because all we do is spend time talking about umpires and grading whether it's a ball or a strike. Watch the hitter, watch the pitcher, watch the game. Don't watch. Baseball does not become an interesting sport because we like grading umpires, but that's where we are with it. And I think baseball's going the wrong way with that.
Boy, I couldn't agree more. And I didn't realize until you just said it. I'm pretty eaten up with OCD, so I can get stuck on things like that. But I clock every single pitch. And if that box, you do see some games without the box, and you just enjoy the game. You just, you know.
Yeah, I've heard that there's some people that actually watch the game on TV instead of on the Cardinal Radio Network powered by Graybar.
I've heard that rumor, too. But
I've done that, too, of course. But when I watch it, I find myself going to the box, too. And I hate that because I want to see where the catcher's feet are. If you ask the average fan now that's maybe new to the game, watching the game on TV, they say, well, how do you feel about where the umpire's setting up? It's like, I don't know where they're setting up. I'm looking at the box. Is Jordan Walker seem a little more open with his stance than he used to be? I don't know. I'm not even looking at him. I'm looking at the box and trying to determine whether the ball's in that box. That feels like a bad video game to me. It doesn't feel like baseball.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, the weird thing about it to me was they didn't tell anybody they were doing it.
Yes.
At least they say they did, but like all of the players and managers are like, yeah, why didn't we know this was happening?
Didn't get the memo. Well, you'd think the pitcher should have got the memo, honestly. and there's some pitchers that are hot about it, Kevin. And I know you read the story. Pitchers and apparently some managers are, and Mike Schilt's one of them. Terry Francona's one of them. They've come out and said, didn't tell me. I mean, you think you would have told them so they could communicate to their pitchers, et cetera. And if they said it at the meetings, well, you know, must have been a meeting they weren't in. And even the people who were on the competition committee that they asked said, I'm on the committee, never came up.
Wow.
So I just think that's a bad way to do business, and I think it's opposite of what they should do. And here's the deal. Right now, AAA baseball is in a bit of a quandary because they're using the ABS system, and the strike zone they're using is too small. And all they're doing is walking everybody. All these prospects are walking everybody, and that's not fun.
All right, Rick, welcome home. Have a great weekend, buddy.
You bet, guys. Good to visit.
Wex, happy Friday. Boy, our beautiful 75-degree sunny weekend kind of went in the crapper.
Did it?
Yeah.
Are you looking at the app again? Are you going to make Dave mad?
No, I never want to make Dave really mad and say, like, dude, it's not my phone. It's local meteorologist.
Yeah, right.
He would come. He would get on a plane to St. Louis and
be like, you better get back on that phone.
Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be like kind of like this, a little bit chillier, a little more rain, so cozy in.
It's raining every weekend.
I know. I know. Well, they say if it rains on Easter, it'll rain every Sunday for like 4 or 5 weeks, something like that. Yeah, it's in the Bible.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that Luke or Mark?
That's the last thing Jesus said. He's like, it's going to rain for a friggin' month now.
Those very Arabic names of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
I don't mean...
Can I say one more thing about Noda? I forgot to say. Jamie on the stream here says that she's seriously considering joining Noda. I hope you do. Hope I get to meet you. But they told us last night that we really need veteran volunteers. Veterans in hospice love to talk to other veterans.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's a huge thing. It's just instant connection. And so if you are a veteran and if you have the time to do it, again, what probably a couple times a month, and you don't have to do it. Like anytime they send out a vigil request, there's about 50 of us now, and they only need about, 6 people for any given night that you can say no. I'm going out of town, going to the Ozarks, whatever it is. But if you are a veteran, go to BethesdaHealth.org or just reach out to me. There's lots of ways to get a hold of me, and I'll hook you up with Melissa, who's in charge of all the volunteers. But that would be wonderful. A way to give back. Speaking of umpires, you know how I want to be a chocolatier and I want to be all these things? I don't want the drama. I wouldn't enjoy the throwing people out and people being mad at me.
Well, then you don't want to be an umpire.
I do, though. I do. I just want to be grandfathered in where everyone has to be nice to me.
I get you.
But I would love to do the job. I think that, like, I'm like Janelle. I kind of watch umpires almost as much as I watch the players.
Man, I don't think anybody really wants that job too much. I mean, unless you're really, like, one of the complaints I end up having about umpires at any level is when they become too thin-skinned and, like, when they mess up or when you think they messed up, because sometimes you're wrong, too. And then immediately it's like, oh, you really? Okay, well, then you get every call against you for the next two. And he's like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Umpires at the major league level, allowing their feelings to get in the way.
Yeah.
And, like, ejecting a player who people paid money to see because, you know, they offended you is not okay.
You know Ron Culpa?
Yeah.
He was my next-door neighbor.
Yeah, great. He's great, by the way.
Yeah.
He's one of the most level-headed guys in the big leagues.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. And I think he's pretty good, but, I mean, I'm just talking about that temperament.
It was so fascinating because he would come over and we'd drink beers, and I would ask him Dave questions, you know, and he would talk about controlling a game mm-hmm. and asserting your, not dominance, but, you know, your authority.
Sure, you're the boss. Yeah. You're in charge.
Interesting.
You're in charge of making sure that the game is played within the rules and played fairly. Like, that's the job.
Yeah.
And I think the worst part, though, like, the hard part for you, to doing that stuff, though, is working your way up the ranks, because you got to deal with a bunch of nonsense.
So I wanted to ask you, your level of playing catcher and what you know about the majors, talk for a minute, that's all we have, about the relationship between the catcher and the umpire during any given game.
It should, you're as a player, and look, the guys in the major leagues, it's a lot different because they're on a first-name basis with the umpires. They know them. They see them year after year after year after year. If you're younger, you have to learn that. That's part of your deal. And there are teams that will have information in the locker room about umpires that day.
You rarely see catchers thrown out of games.
No, because they're the ones that are, I mean, first of all, you do want to build, like, some kind of rapport because you want to ask questions. Sometimes you're like, is that one going to be there all day? Or is it not, you know, like, if you're looking at what's happening
and
in every pitch.
You.
Right. And you just, as long as you keep it conversational, it's pretty good. If you start getting nasty with the umpire and barking at him, you're going to have a bad day. And you're probably going to have a short day because they're not going to put up with it all game long. At the younger levels, you're trying to teach the kids that, like, hey, when you go out there, introduce yourself to the umpire. Say, hi, I'm John. Johnny, I'm catching today. I'll try to keep you from getting hit by anything. Like, try to be, you know, learn what it means to build a relationship with somebody. And umpires really appreciate that because they want it to be that back and forth. That way, you know, again, when you're younger, you're not asking the umpire any questions, right? They're typically not doing too much of the, hey, Blue, we need that pitch, or hey, John, we need that pitch. But as you get older, you have to have that balance, that conversation, that ability to say, man, boy, I need that one. We're going to need that one. And then you just throw the ball back and you stop. You don't keep talking. You don't keep barking. You don't say, man, you blew that one. Nothing like that.
That's cool.